Hello, and welcome to another episode of Amateur Tarot Pod, a podcast where we, two non-mystical hosts, use the power of tarot to answer your questions.
For entertainment purposes only.
That chipper host is Brian Dooley.
And that normal-sounding host is Ben Noble.
And we, together, will solve all of life's biggest problems in one 30-minute drive to work, mowing of the lawn, washing of the dishes, walking of the dogs. That's it.
Did we ever have any other approved? I always did it when I was driving to work, so I never had to. It's been so long since we approved something new. Let's give them something.
Okay. You want to approve a new thing here?
Yeah.
On episode 125?
I think, especially as we get into summer, if you're roofing a house,
you can listen.
Definitely listen to the show.
All right. And so, bang the gavel. So it is approved.
Excellent. Having gotten that out of the way.
Yeah. I know that's been burning a hole in your pocket for a whole week now.
Well, now that you're able, you're up on the roof and it's hot.
Don't fall.
Yeah.
But also maybe download some other episodes too, because I feel like roofing a house takes a lot longer than 30 minutes.
It does. It takes a couple of days. And wear sunscreen. I used to be a roofer. Did you know that?
I did not know that. I'm learning something new about you even now.
When I was just a young child, I was a roofer and I got horrible, horrible sunburns because I was young and stupid.
So wear sunscreen. Yeah. Sunglasses?
I can't wear sunglasses when I do it because like they always slide off my face.
Okay.
But yeah, anything you can do to protect yourself from the sun.
A hat.
I'm pretty sure that the sun is closer to us than it ever has been or something, that whatever climate change is,
it's happening.
And it's going to be hotter than it's ever been.
Although actually I think weirdly during the summer, we're actually, the earth is farther from the sun than it is in the winter.
But it's like more facing, like where we are is more facing the sun.
Yeah,
than
I think so, something like that.
I don't know.
I remember this from like fifth grade or something. It came up.
I'm no Scientologist. I can't know all these things.
All right. So if you're on the roof, welcome to the club.
Welcome.
We're really happy to have you.
We're glad you're here. There's 124 other episodes you can listen to.
But maybe start at like 20.
Yeah, maybe skip those first 20 or 30 episodes.
Yeah. Nuclear summer. Start there.
Yes. That was the first episode we were like, man, inappropriate. We're really awesome.
Appropriate for roofing.
Oh, yeah. Because you will feel like it's the nuclear summer.
Yeah. I don't remember what that episode is about, but I know that Chernobyl documentary is getting a lot of play on Netflix. So I feel like, did we sort of predict that 2 years ago?
Yeah, I feel like we kind of predicted that. And now we're like tapping into that Chernobyl money.
Mm-hmm.
Like all that feel-good energy around that.
Yeah.
We're now on top of it.
Those positive, good Chernobyl vibes.
Yeah, those vibes.
Those vibes will really get you. What have we talked about?
We introduced each other.
Okay, we didn't. I don't think we got into the spread explanation.
Yeah. What do we do? We read the tarot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we do that in a very specific way.
Yep.
The same way we've done it for decades.
And that way is that we draw three cards that, in the order that we draw them, indicate the recent past, the current actions, and the future 100% money back spiritual goal guaranteed outcome for entertainment purposes only. Outcome.
Sounds pretty cut and dry.
Yep. And then after that, there's a card of the week. That's for everyone.
Yeah. That card of the week has become my favorite part of the show. I think I might have mentioned that before, but since we've really gotten into dissecting the books.
Yeah, now you...
Like reading the books.
You have a gimmick now?
Yeah, now I feel like it's both of our show now instead of just the Ben show that Brian does. And it makes me happy to finally be like a full partner in this thing that we're doing together.
Yes. And then, of course, we have the outro, the end of the show, which has always really been my part of the show for me.
Yeah. Have there been any developments with, you know, that person you're married to and skipping the outro?
No new news to report.
Oh, my stomach just sinks every time I think of that.
I didn't mean to bring it up if it was going to cause you as much emotional pain as I knew it's causing you now.
Don't skip the outro. Don't skip the outro. And then... So do you think that...
I realize it's long, but there's like, it's not just a dry... We inject the comedy into it. It's canon.
Yeah,
and things happen in the outro.
Does your wife do the opposite of the card of the week advice?
I don't know.
Does she just listen to what we say, barely listen to what we say, and then just spit on all of that and go her own way?
I don't know. Why
do we even have magical cards telling us what to do if we're not going to do exactly what they prescribe?
Brian, it's a good question. Maybe you should put that into the meat of the show. Maybe that should, maybe we should answer a question from you this week.
Let's do the outro right now.
Okay.
Take that, Julia.
All right. Well, thank you very much to our querent this week, Patrick. And we hope that helped.
Thank you to the Lols. We could not do this without you. And we can't stress enough how much we appreciate you being there.
And now a moment of silence for the Lols that we've lost along the way.
Ben, where can they find us?
They can find us on our website, amateurterror.com. That's a good place to ask us a question.
Yeah, another place they could ask a question is at the phone number. And if you need help, experienced tarot readers are only a phone call away. Specialized tarot spreads, unique card associations, advanced tarot symbolism, in-depth card meanings, secrets of, quote, the masters. Gain valuable insight to the tarot. In USA, call 314-325-6047. In Canada, call 314-325-6047. Visit us today at www.amateurtarot.com for entertainment purposes only. Must be 18 plus.
Now see, that's a great callback joke to last week's outro that people would get if they had listened to it. Also, we are on Facebook. We have a Facebook group at group/amateurtarot. It's a very fun place to go.
Yeah. And I'm on Twitter at Zen Iron Man if you want to see angry political screeds.
And I'm on the internet at makingallthisup.com where I write about ways that you can pursue your passions.
Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It doesn't cost anything and it helps us out a lot.
It does. Steve Jobs' ghost, he sees those reviews and he smiles upon us.
Yes, he sees those reviews. He smiles upon us. He takes the algorithms and he puts us up higher.
And now, item number 9, thank you to.
Thank you to Julia for finally hearing what the outro sounds like.
And finally,
spoiler alert, magic is real. So our question this week comes from Patrick in St. Louis.
And Patrick asks, how do I learn to love myself?
That's a big question, Patrick.
It's a good question.
Do you have any pre-advice, Ben?
Oh, man. I didn't know I was going to be on the hook for some actual advice this week. I was not prepared. You know, we did the outro and it's like...
And you're checked out.
I'm checked out.
You're,
I'm not...
halfway home.
I'm not ready to like give advice. It's like if I warmed up for my workout, then I ran for 3 minutes, then I walked and stretched, and then I was expected
to
run.
And then you took a sauna and yeah. then a shower, and then you were like, oh, now I got to run a mile.
Yeah, that's how I feel now. Do you have any pre-advice?
Oh, boy. How do I learn to love myself is not something that I am an expert on.
All right, so...
It's not my strongest suit.
Is that wands? Get it?
Ah,
do you get it?
Good
now
one.
That I'm old, I have these good jokes.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, learning to love yourself is challenging,
mm-hmm.
but important.
It is important, because if you don't love yourself, then I've heard said that you can't really love someone else adequately.
That's what they say. But also, I think that's true. And I also think that it's true that like other people want to be around like positive people.
Yeah, that's a tricky situation. People do want to be around positive people because it's more fun to be happy than it is to right. not be happy. But I don't think loving yourself necessarily means you're a positive person.
No.
And I don't want to say that being a positive person is like the goal here.
No, but I think that you're more likely to like feel positive when you're happier with yourself.
Yeah, I would.
No,
I would just tweak it a little bit and I would say you are a positive influence in the world.
Yeah.
When you have the confidence that comes from self-love.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's
not
that's
not just
good.
Positivity for positivity's
right.
sake, but actually like you generate something net good in the world because you care about yourself.
Yeah.
Cool.
That was good.
Well, great.
But we didn't really...
Should we even reference any cards?
Well, I don't even think we gave pre-advice. We just had a debate about what it means to be a positive influence or a positive person.
Well, that's great. That's as useful as any pre-advice that we ever give.
Okay. Well, then we'll go to the cards.
Yeah. Nobody's supposed to take our pre-advice anyway. We're supposed to do what the cards say.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Patrick, buckle up.
Even though we did have a very good, nuanced conversation there. This week... We have the Robin Wood Tarot deck.
This is such a treat for Ben.
It's one of my favorite decks. Mostly because Robin, in the mythos of the extended amateur tarot universe. Robin Wood, who we're a big fan of, made a tarot deck that she put herself all up in.
Every single card.
Every single card features Robin or members of Robin's family.
Possibly.
But most of the cards that feature women feature Robin.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Queen of Wands. Here's Robin in the desert in a yellow dress. The Ten of Wands. Here's Robin burying her head into ten wands. Now, the Seven of Wands. Here's a strapping young man in a Scottish
kilt. Oh, yeah. That's kilt. Like a big wraparound kilt.
Yeah. And a thing. We don't know who that is. Could be Robin's son.
Yeah. Or it could just be Robin in cosplay.
Sure.
I'm going to read you the back of the box for the Robin Wood Tarot. The power and artistry of the tarot. The Robin Wood Tarot is flavored with vibrant nature imagery and luminous energies that enchant and stimulate pagans and non-pagans alike. You tracking it so far? Does that make sense?
Sure.
The shining strength of this tarot deck lies in its depiction of the minor arcana. Unlike other decks, in which you sense that the artist may have found the minor cards just a little repetitive, all of the cards in Robin Wood's deck spring into pulsating life.
Oh. Okay, word choices are interesting.
Even the novice reader will find these cards easy to understand and enjoyable to interpret. Back on track.
Yep.
Radiantly colorful and infinitely captivating, this deck is a gift to your visual and psychic senses.
Okay, high praise for Robin.
Yeah.
From Robin.
You know what? I think this might be one of the most honest appraisals of someone's own deck on the box. I really like the way that it describes itself, except for some of the word choices.
Pulsating.
That's the word that I don't like.
All right.
But do you feel enchanted and stimulated just thumbing through going there?
Yes, I do.
Great. This is a family show, so I'm not going to go further.
I'm glad that Robin put those other decks on blast that just were bored with the minor arcana.
Yeah, and it's not even in the book. That's on the back of the box.
Robin doesn't pull any punches, which is why this is a 5-star deck.
That's right. 5 stars.
Robin Wood deck. Because tradition.
All right. What was the question again?
How do I learn to love myself?
Well, Patrick, let's find out.
Flip.
In the past, the devil.
Good. See, I feel like we're starting off just spot on. Now, I actually quite like this devil card.
Yeah.
Because here you have this treasure chest
mm-hmm.
and these two people. And I think the implication is that they're chained to the treasure chest.
Right. There's a man and Robin.
Yes. Although red-haired Robin, not blonde Robin.
Right.
And then they're in this dark hallway. And then there's this little door with a verdant scene outside of it.
Oh, yeah. It's so far away.
But they can't get to it. They're reaching for it, but can't get to it.
Because they're chained to this treasure chest.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the devil card, this is a good representation of the devil card without having a literal devil on it at all.
Yeah.
Because it represents being too
attached to things. It's pulsating with meaning. I stepped on what you said, but go back and say what you said.
It represents having too strong of attachment, or it can represent having too strong of an attachment to the things that just make you happy right now.
Mm-hmm.
I oftentimes will reference sex, drugs, and rock and roll in the devil card.
Yeah.
It's just the things that feel good right now. And they're not necessarily bad things, but if you let them control what you're doing, then they become bad things. They become addictions. They become hindrances to you moving forward.
Yeah, I think that's 100% it. Especially if you're not feeling happy with yourself right now, but you know that something can make you feel good for a little while, then you're doing that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is impeding you from getting outside into that beautiful garden where you're going to be more happy long term.
Right. So that's you in the past. Let's see where you are right now.
Flip.
Oh, the chariot.
Okay. Here's Robin, a bit older, a more distinguished Robin.
Mm-hmm.
And this Robin is in a chariot playing a harp.
What is the look on Robin's face in this card?
It's a very hard question. Because it's somewhere between, I think she's singing.
Okay, yeah, because
the harp.
The harp. Is that a harp or a lyre?
It's probably a lyre.
Which is just a tiny harp.
Yeah.
It's like the difference between a flute and a piccolo or a
violin cello and a violin. Viola.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what I was trying to think of at first, but I was
kept But a viola is not that much bigger.
Piccolo, so then I switched it.
We should also mention that the chariot is being driven by a black and white unicorn.
A black unicorn and a white unicorn. Yes.
The chariot is a car that's all about willpower and driving forward.
And success.
Yes.
Like there's success inherent in the chariot.
Yes.
And movement.
And movement and getting out of this dark hallway.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is another good one of getting into the like learning to love yourself thing is that it is not easy. It requires it. It's like an active process.
Yeah. You have to master these unicorns in order to drive this chariot anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you are in the present is the act of doing that, which is sending the question into us.
So we can tell you all of the things that you already know.
Yeah. So that's why it's the chariot's here in the present situation, because you have sung your question out to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we, two unicorns, are going to
drive you forward. And now the future. Flip.
Oh.
Okay.
The Eight of Cups.
And here, Brian, do you feel like this card, a minor arcana card, because we've had two major arcana cards, do you feel like this card shows the true meaning of the minor arcana that you've never seen before?
I feel like it shows the actual meaning of the minor arcana. I feel like the person that did the artistry on this card wasn't just bored and trying to get through it.
They weren't just phoning it in.
No, this is the real imagery of the Eight of Cups.
Yes. Now, here's Robin. She has her back to us.
Yeah.
And she's walking away into a mountain. And then in the foreground are eight cups, but you can tell a cup is missing. And Robin is going off to seek out that missing cup.
Oh, that is that. I have a different take on what the Eight of Cups represents.
Go on.
For me, the Eight of Cups, these cups are things that you currently have that, especially relationships and things that you're tied to emotionally. They're things that you have acquired and you've built and you've worked for. And the eight represents leaving those things behind and moving forth to seek a new adventure.
So this is like the Six of Swords. I feel like maybe we've talked about this.
It's kind of like the Six of Swords. Both of them indicate taking a journey, but the Eight of Swords is more of an adventure that you are choosing to go on.
Mm-hmm.
And you know you have to leave some important things behind in order for that to happen. But there's so much more available to you once you get over that mountain.
Okay. I think that makes a lot of sense given the devil card that we started with.
Yeah. So we have the devil. You're really into the things that you're into. You're tied up in, tied up by the details of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then you move into the chariot. It was just a nice movement card. You are trying to undo some of those chains. And then that takes us to the Eight of Cups, where you have determined what you need to leave behind in order to move forward and truly love yourself.
A perfect reading.
Yeah. Did we answer the question?
I feel like we kind of did. I mean, we didn't necessarily tell Patrick the things that he needs to leave behind, but I think we've told a good story of like learning to love yourself is one, getting rid of the things that you know are bringing you happiness now, but aren't necessarily the things that you should be focused on.
The things that are bringing you fleeting pleasure.
Fleeting happiness. Yeah, yeah. Sure. But okay, giving that up and moving to the next phase is going to be an active process. That's the chariot. It's kind of strength, mental fortitude, willpower. You know it's going to be difficult, but putting in the work yields success. And yeah, then finally,
and that overlaps with the eight.
The eight, which is like, okay, you're moving on. You're leaving those things that are bringing you fleeting happiness behind. And you're moving into a new phase that is going to bring you happiness because now you've put these other things away. You're seeking new experiences and learning new things about yourself on this journey.
Love it.
I feel like that's some advice.
Yeah, I think it really is. Good job, Ben.
Thank you.
Good job, Robin.
Good job, Brian. I feel like that was, honestly, I felt like it was pulsating with advice.
All right. Thank you so much, Patrick. We hope that helped. And now it's my favorite part of the show.
It's the card of the week.
The card of the week. All right, here we are, the card of the week. And this card is for everybody, everybody in the world, right?
I think so. And Lycan.
And Lycan. And so if you're here, you're family.
And Lycan.
So welcome. Grab some breadsticks and settle in.
For the card of the week.
What deck are we using this week, Ben?
We're using the Brady Tarot, which you will remember from episode, insert episode title here.
Maggie?
The episode where we interviewed Emmy Brady.
Yeah. And so that was super exciting. There's not a lot of times when we have
live guests on.
Yeah.
And mostly dead guests or monsters.
Or, yeah, cryptozoology people.
Yeah. So that was a treat. And then Emmy really pushed me on my 4-star rating.
She challenged it. Yeah. She wasn't saying, like, don't give it 4 stars. She was just giving you more texture.
It was the hardest thing I've ever had to do on this podcast.
Was changed from 4 to 5 stars.
Yes. But maybe worth it. Because this is a good deck. It's North American wildlife themed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very cool, very good deck. You have a lot of interesting animals. I know that the book is very good, but I won't step on your toes.
It's got like a dusty gilding on the edges.
Yes, it does. And the if I recall, it's made with like lino cutting.
Yeah, hand lino cut, all of those pieces. Actually, a second edition just came out via Kickstarter not too long ago, and I think that Emmy has redone some of the art.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But it's cool. It's a really nice nature-themed deck, but also very intense.
It's super intense. It is kind of a cutthroat deck because nature is not kindness doesn't really come into it. Nature is not just...
Sunshine and rainbows?
Sunshine and rainbows.
That's what I like about this deck. All right. I'm shuffling it up.
How is it size-wise?
I think it's just stiff from not being loved as much. I mean...
All my decks.
All of your decks aren't... How could you ever love all of these
when
decks?
When you have so many children,
how could you love them all?
Hey, Ben, while you're shuffling through there, can you just look at one of the pip cards? I don't care which one.
Okay, great. Here it is. The 7 of coins.
Does it feel like Emmy just phoned it in?
I mean, I am getting that sense.
Well, you heard it here first. The Robin Wood Tarot is the best tarot deck that has ever been created.
Truly the only tarot deck that treats the minor arcana cards appropriately.
I would say the Robin Wood Tarot is the tarot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of like the Rider-Waite was Star Wars A New Hope, and then the Robin Wood Tarot was Episode 5. Whatever that one's called.
Empire Strikes Back?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say that the Robin Wood Tarot was the prequels.
No. No, because doesn't everybody think that the Empire Strikes Back is, like, the best one?
Everyone thinks that because it's true.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. Like, A New Hope was good, and it kicked off the thing, but mm-hmm. then the Empire Strikes Back... And then after that, Miss Cleo's tarot deck for the Jedi Returns.
I wouldn't go that far.
Okay. For Episode 1 of Phantom Menace?
Miss Cleo?
Yeah.
I don't think Miss Cleo's does a disservice to the tarot.
Okay.
Sure. But if you want to hear more about this, you'll have to tune in to
Brian's other podcast,
Star Wars Bro. And that's just my Star Wars podcast where I just do some funny riffs about all the different characters and droids and which episodes of the saga are important and which ones aren't.
All right.
All right.
Now, card of the week.
Flip? Oh.
Well, Brian, I think God has punished you for your insolence. Because the card of the week this week is the world.
Aw.
That's what happens when you do what you just did.
I've never flipped before.
And this is what you have wrought.
Maggie is going to come back in the comments
and say an episode.
Say like the 3 times I've flipped before.
Yeah. Okay. So on the world, we have a lot going on. Essentially, like at the bottom, we have a bird's nest. But there's like a tree growing out of the bird's nest. It's sort of making this infinity, like the branches of the tree have this infinity thing going on. There's water spilling out. There's a black bird, maybe like a crow or a raven, and then an owl that seemed to be fighting. And the egg in the nest is broken open and there's no baby bird.
That's a lot.
Yes. There's some other stuff I didn't even get into.
Okay. Well, maybe the book will.
If it had been a pip card, it would have been a lot less because it was just phoned in. But this was a major arcana, so time was taken.
All right. So this book is a mini novel. I love it. It's written by Rachel Pollack, who is famous and who writes a lot of tarot stuff. And so it's kind of a coup that Emmy was able to get Rachel to write the book. And I think that we will, I mean, I haven't rated it yet. So we're going to read what the world is. And my take on the world is, it's anything. It just means anything. So let's see if the book clarifies it a little bit.
Maybe you'll leave this episode with a new appreciation of the world.
Possibly. That would be good because I don't appreciate it very much.
It's like when you go to a concert and you don't love the song, but then you hear it live and you're like, that's actually a pretty good song.
Okay. The world. First, we have some keywords, but they're keywords in the tone of...
In the Brian Dooley sense of the keywords?
Key phrases. Fulfillment. Realization. Success in whatever the reading concerns. The end. A completion of something, but also an opening to a new beginning. If anyone might think that Emmy Brady's nature-based cards are limited symbolically, they need only ponder the world card. Because this final card of the Major Arcana is denser with symbolism than some others, we will give it some extra space.
Okay, so a lot of reading. Strap in, roofers. Yep.
Get ready. If you like my voice, you've got it. With the world, the fool comes to the end of the soul's journey through the wilderness. But this ending is not a finish so much as a fulfillment of things shown or hinted at in previous cards. And since the four symbols of the Minor Arcana appear, the feathers of the birds, the drinking horns tied to the arrows, the entwined roots, we are reminded that the suits will open up new journeys through the many worlds of the cards. The imagery here recalls various other major cards. The raven brings us back to card 1, the magician, while the snowy owl represents card 2, the high priestess. If you take those first two cards and set them next to each other, with the magician on the left as number 1, you will see right away that the two birds fly away from each other, the magician slash raven to the left, and the high priestess slash owl to the right. In the world, the number 21 reverses the sequence, 1-2. Thus, in the picture, the raven seems to return from the left, while the owl flies eagerly to meet him. Energies which seemed opposite, even divergent, at the start of the journey, come together at the end. We saw a glimpse of this reunion in card 14, Temperance. There, however, the bird on the right was an eagle, like the owl, a symbol of wisdom. Cards 14 and 21 are also linked visually through the entwined spiraling snakes in Temperance and the double helix formed by the Trees of the World card. When the scientific world proudly announced the decoding of a strand of DNA as a double helix, many occultists said something like, oh, we knew that. It's the Caduceus of Hermes. Is it coincidence that the fundamental form of genetic material should resemble a symbol thousands of years old? That word would depend on what you think coincidence means. The world's imagery recalls various other cards. 21 is 12 backwards, and the suspended sassafras leaf in the center may suggest the upside-down opossum in card 12, the hanged one. Sassafras is a native North American laurel species. This hints at the spiritual victory of card 21, for in the ancient world, laurel wreaths crowned victors from military to sports to contests of poetry. The victory here is spiritual, overcoming duality through entwining energies and images. The arrow from which the drinking horns suspend recalls the arrow held in the turkey vulture's beak in Justice. As card 11, Justice formed a midpoint in the fool's journey through the wilderness, with 10 cards before it and 10 after, and thus a turning point on the way to the unity of the world. This brief description can only hint at the ways the world card brings together the major cards that came before it in the four worlds of the major arcana.
Wow. Well, how do you feel?
It gave a lot of information.
Okay.
It described a lot of symbolism.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't gel with me.
Okay. I know this is... You flipped, so I feel justified picking up the book again. Because I just want to go back to the key phrases. Fulfillment, realization, success in whatever the reading concerns, the end, a completion of something, but also an opening to a new beginning. I felt like we had forgotten about the other cards.
It's been a long time, I feel like, since we've had good keywords in the readings. So that was nice. I like the keywords.
Yeah.
And I do appreciate all the backstory and all the lore on the card, but I don't feel like it gave me more mystical stuff to work with.
Sure.
More juice.
All right. Well, I think that the advice for this week once again coincides with the future card of the actual reading of the Eight of Cups, of like going on a new journey. And this, mm-hmm. This is about a new beginning, starting yeah. over, and finding success at the end of this journey to begin a new one.
I like it. I mean, I like your take on it.
Okay.
I don't like the world card. And the book, I'll give it 4 stars.
Okay.
It's certainly better than A Little White Book, which would be a 3-star
says like nothing.
Book. Yeah. And there's a ton into it. I could see how someone would give it 5 stars. It's just not for me.
Okay. That's fair.
All right.
That's card of the week.
That's the card of the week.
And now you've heard the song, but we've already done the outro. So we're just in this weird liminal space.
What do we do in this area?
Well,
is this like just a place to put up announcements or something?
I guess.
Oh, it looks like somebody's starting a band and needs a drummer.
Oh. Oh, it also looks like I could do a psychology experiment and get paid $10 for my troubles.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Huh. I guess I have an announcement.
Okay.
There's a lot of changes going on in my life right now. And I think one of those changes for right now is going to be that I need to step away from the show for a while.
Now, I know that you don't like the world card, but it seems very appropriate for this week.
It does seem uncannily appropriate for this week.
An end, a new beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So we should stress that, one, this is not an April Fool's joke.
Yeah, this isn't a goof.
2, we didn't get into any fights.
We're cool.
3, if you are shocked that Brian was the one leaving the podcast and not me, I'm also shocked.
Yeah. That's where we're at. My life has gotten a bit unwieldy, and there are more developments in the future. And I feel like my commitment to the show is suffering. So
a few things now, if I may interject.
You may.
1, here's a Kleenex. Go ahead and wipe your eyes. Good. Do you need a refill on your tea? Okay. Good. Now, don't delete the podcast from your podcast feed. Don't fall off the roof. Don't stop the lawnmower.
Oh, yeah. I guess we should have told you to climb down the ladder before we made the announcement.
Yeah. Turn off the lawnmower. Pull over on the shoulder.
You can just keep walking the dog.
Yeah, that's, or if you're washing fine. I guess if you're washing the dishes, don't drop anything. But yeah, don't delete the podcast from your feed. Things are in the works, and the plan is that the podcast will continue on with me and a new co-host or a new series of co-hosts, but things will continue. You will continue to get your advice, and at some point, Brian may or may not choose to return. If he does...
Yeah, I would love to keep that door open.
If he does, the host chair is here for him.
Well, it is in my attic.
Yeah. Yeah, so the chair is here for... I guess...
I guess I don't know where the microphone's
going. Yeah, where will the microphone be? Will I have to come here to record?
These are details that you, lols, don't need to concern yourself with. They will be ironed out.
But I just want to take a minute to say now, I mean, it's good. Unburdened by the outro, I'm glad that we got that out of the way early, because now I can say a big thank you to Brian. I don't have a speech prepared, as I was given this information right before we started the podcast, so I didn't have time to prepare speech.
Ben was actually up on a roof when I told him.
Yeah. And
that's why I really should have known
I wasn't
to
roof-
prepare you first.
I wasn't roofing, though. I had just thrown a Frisbee up there, and I had to get it down. But I just want to say thank you to Brian for all his hard work on the show. We do joke all the time that Brian is 90 to 98% of the show. And that is true, because most of the time I just show up and then Brian has everything set up. He manages all the admin. He does all of the editing. He controls the Facebook group. Truly, I just show up. So this is going to be a big change for me.
Yeah, I just gave you the gift of a lot more work.
Yeah, so thanks for that.
And also, I want to clarify... Really, Maggie controls the group on Facebook.
Okay, that's good. Thankfully, Maggie doesn't have a bunch of big life changes as far as I know. Although I'm sure next time I get up on the roof, I'm going to get a message from her. No, but in all seriousness, Brian has done a ton of work making the show what it is. In fact, Brian's responsible for starting the show because I didn't want to. I said that we should not.
Consistently throughout the run of the show.
I have not wanted to. No, but we would have never started if you hadn't said, like, let's just do a podcast. And then I felt like I had to say yes. And so, and then I thought, this will never last.
And here you are now, finally being proven right.
But it took almost 3 years to get to that point. But a big thank you to you, Brian. The show has been a lot of fun, and I know that it will not be the same without you and everything that you've done to make the show what it is.
It will still be a wonderful show, and I want to thank you, Ben, for being my co-host and my partner and my friend, and I look forward to seeing what becomes of the show in the future as I take a step back and am not as hands-on. So it's very exciting. I'm not going away forever. There's nothing bad going on. This is just a necessary change. This is an Eight of Cups.
It's the world.
It is the world. It's it's the world and the Eight of Cups. The reading was for me.
The reading was for Brian.
I feel like my description of the Eight of Cups, of like seeing something established that you've built, that you love, and making the conscious choice to look towards a new adventure with the world attached to that, I think that it all makes sense.
Was the devil for you too, in that like this is something that brings you fleeting happiness, but you had to get it out of your life?
No, I don't think that the devil was that. I think that this show has given me true happiness. I've met real friends, and my friendship with Ben has grown and flourished, at least on the Sundays when we record.
All right. So don't delete this podcast. Potentially there will be a new episode on Monday that it's totally different. So stay tuned for that.
And good luck to everybody. We can have a moment of silence for lost hosts.
All right.
Bye.
But I don't know that we solved.
That's.
Go ahead.